Psalm 91. Before I forget, I do want to thank everyone, the whole church, for all that was done yesterday for our family, for Debbie especially, for all that was done for the memorial. We thank you for the preparation and for all the good food and fellowship and the prayers, and we're just thankful for all of you. And I do want to also remind you to keep Josh and Magda in your prayers. Yes. The 18th, Tuesday, is their big day that they have to face the family court for this crazy situation that they're in. And they're under a lot of stress, and they need lots of prayer and wisdom. So just please keep them in your prayers. Amen. They send their greetings. They wish they could have come, but it just wasn't possible. I want it wherever it's possible. Thank you.
Joe, on that, can I ask you what time that is for us?
I would guess that it's going to be like 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. So, remember, sorry?
Set your alarm.
Remember, my mother-in-law prayed an hour and a half every day, so just keep that in mind. Maybe, you know, just saying. Okay, but keep in your prayers. I mean, it's in God's hands, but they do need prayer. Okay, Psalm 91, we're going to read verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you've ever read the Psalms, this is one of those verses that kind of just sticks out, I think. I don't know exactly why. Maybe it's just so beautifully written. Just the wording, like, you know, the Bible has some places where the, especially in the Psalms and the other poetical books, it's just beautiful language. The poetry is beautiful and it's not just poetry, of course, but in itself, it's just, wow, it's just soothing, it's comforting, it's reassuring. And that's why it makes this book so special. It's just not like any other book. You open it up and it's just full of blessings and truth and comfort. The world doesn't think much of it until they want to quote it. You know, it's kind of funny. Years ago, Debbie and I went to a funeral in Poland and they gave us the program for the funeral. And on the back of it, it had 1 Corinthians 13, like 4 through 8, you know, charity suffereth long in its kind, of course in Polish, but it had the whole passage. And that was, you know, pretty cool, right? And then at the bottom it was written, and it was signed basically, John Paul II. Like, wait a minute. He didn't come up with that. And I don't know how many people even realize that read that, because, you know, if you don't know your Bible, you think, wow, John Paul II, he was quite a genius. That guy could write some pretty good stuff, but that wasn't his words. And that's just how things go. It's the Bible is often quoted by people who don't even believe it. You know, we're in Guanajuato years ago. The first time I met in Mexico with such severe opposition from atheists and humanists was in this university city of Guanajuato. Up until then, everywhere we went, we're dealing with Roman Catholics who at least, you know, had some kind of respect for the Bible and they believed in God. But we got to this city and wow, these people just anti-God and just really antagonistic about anything remotely connected to God in the Bible. And yet over the entrance to the university, they had this big sign that said, "The truth shall make you free." You see, one thing, right? You know, they don't know the truth yet, but that's, they like those words. And way, way back in years ago in Poland, when we were stuck with watching CNN for news, they came up with a commercial. "In the beginning was the word." And that's their commercial. They like to quote the Bible. Because it sounds so good and so true, and yet they don't believe it. And this is one of those passages that really, to me, it just sticks out and it's comforting. And yet, I think that there's more here than meets the eye.
You're right.
Amen.
Now look at the second part of that verse, and that's the part that usually is the most soothing, right? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, Webster's Dictionary says that shadow can mean shelter from heat, secluded retreat, protection, shelter, or favor. They all sound good to me. Yeah. And we all need all those things.
Amen.
And I think David was a good example. I mean, if you read the Psalms, you read the life of David, you know David knew what it meant to need a shelter and a shadow. He had problems from early on. I mean, as a young boy tending sheep, he's facing bears and lions. Now, he needed some help. And as a young boy going to see his brothers, he faced criticism from his own brother and false accusation from his own family. And then he faced a giant. Well, you need some protection when you're facing a giant. And then as a king, he's facing all kinds of problems within and without, and his own son goes against him and tries to, you know, pulls off a military coup against him, and then he's fighting all kinds of people, and Saul's trying to kill him before that. David went through a lot of problems. He knew what it meant to seek and need a refuge.
Amen.
And you know, we are no different.
Amen.
We need help.
Amen.
I mean, we got problems. Trials, family problems, people problems, health problems. Maybe sometimes psychological problems, emotional problems, sickness. We need that shadow of the Almighty. We need God's protection to take care of us and give us wisdom and guide us and help us and deliver us.
Amen.
And that's why I think this passage is so reassuring. Imagine being under the shadow of the Almighty. Not just under a shadow. I mean, you always know you're in Texas when all the cars are parked farthest away from the store because that's where the trees are. They don't park next to the door. They park where the trees are. That's the shade. We're talking about the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
The Almighty God that can do everything. Nothing is impossible for Him. Nothing is even difficult for God. He doesn't break out in a sweat. He doesn't worry. He doesn't fret. There's nothing God cannot do.
Amen.
You have a problem? Your problem is not too big for God. Your problem is not too insignificant for God.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, maybe some of us might think your problem is not that big of a deal, and maybe, you know, you're worried about things you shouldn't be worried about, but if you go to God, it says take to God your care, take all your cares to God, He cares for you.
Yes.
Imagine a God that can hear your prayer and my prayer, all at the same time, 24/7, doesn't get confused, doesn't forget who spoke. He recognizes your voice. He knows who you are. He's the Almighty God.
Amen.
And that's comforting.
Amen.
But not everybody really agrees with that. Some people say, I don't believe that. I don't think God can answer. I don't think God knows. I don't think God cares. And they begin to doubt whether it's really true that God can actually hear prayers. That God actually has the right answers. Or they don't even, they might even not open the Bible because they don't believe that God has any answers. They doubt that He's the Almighty God. They doubt that He cares. They doubt that He really has all the answers this world ever needs. But the Bible says He is the Almighty. But what's interesting to me is that the concept of omnipotence, the concept of the miraculous, is not a foreign concept, even to unbelievers. And even those people who sometimes doubt that God is almighty, they don't have a problem with the concept of miraculous. Now, I'm going to probably step on a few toes. But think about how the world, how maybe some of you at one time, and I hope maybe not now, but here we go. How the world seeks for protection and comfort and favor and refuge. It can be as silly as a lucky number or a horseshoe on the wall. Or a rabbit's foot in your pocket. Some people never call out to God, but they never leave home without their lucky rabbit's foot. Why would they do that? It seems to me that they think this rabbit's foot is almost omnipotent. Just keep the rabbit's foot on you and it'll all be okay. You know, wear this special shirt and will you go and you'll win the lottery. It can be as pagan as the horoscope. Imagine, instead of opening your Bible every day to find some wisdom from God, you open the newspaper to find out what the horoscope says. If you're doing that, you're not very wise. The stars are not omnipotent. I don't know a thing about the horoscope, but I can guarantee you the stars are not dictating your life. And they're not going to direct you. They're not going to help you. They should direct you to the Creator, not to think that they are the ones deciding your fate. It can be as religious as a cross or a crucifix. And I'm not telling you that if you wear a cross, you're superstitious. I don't know why you wear a cross. But if you wear a cross because you think that that cross is going to help you get across the street and not get run over, you're missing it. Amen. If you think the cross is going to help you defeat cancer, you're missing it. That's not going to do it. I'm sorry. It can be as religious as a medallion around your neck. It can be as religious as a scapular. A scapular is a small piece of cloth on a string, usually around the neck. It's got, I think, usually a picture of the Virgin Mary. And the promise given, I think if I remember right, I read it first was promised in the year 1215. Not by God, of course, but somebody decided this is a good idea. And if you keep this scapular on all your life and die with it on you, you will not go to hell. Wow. This thing's pretty miraculous. It can keep you out of hell, they say. No! The scapular is not miraculous and is not omnipotent. It cannot help you. If you're doing that, please read your Bible and you'll find out that's not the way to God. Amen. It can be as miraculous or as religious, I should say, as religious as dashboard idols. I'm showing where I spent a lot of my life, of course, I'm sure. If you've ever been to Mexico and driven in a taxi or ridden in a taxi or saw the big 18-wheelers, you see dashboards sometimes completely covered with idols. And today, for $12.95... you can buy a dashboard idol of your choice. There are probably dozens to choose from. And it's guaranteed to keep you safe on the road. Really? That's what you're putting your hope in? that cannot be. That's not, that cannot be the way for safety and refuge and protection. I mean, it's pretty cheap, right? I mean, wow, you can't beat that bargain. Cheaper than, forget your insurance, just buy the idol, right? No, that's not the way. And yet, and so, you see people who believe in God or even don't believe in God, like evolutionists who don't believe in God, you know what? They believe in the miraculous too, don't they? Everything just showed up. I mean, evolution is omnipotent. It can create everything out of nothing. Isn't that what God did? Oh, but they can't believe in the miraculous because that's attributed to God. But hey, it can just happen all by itself with no intervention of any supreme, wise, intelligent being. It had to happen by itself. So, see, they have no problem with the concept of omnipotence and the miraculous. But the problem might be that you or others may say, well, you know what? I've tried that stuff. I've tried asking God. I've tried reading the Bible. I've tried maybe even fasting and praying to God, and I didn't find any help. I didn't find any protection. I didn't find any wisdom. I didn't find anything. Or maybe God just failed me and God let me down. And so they give up and they say, no, God isn't as omnipotent as the Bible says He is. But I want you to look at this verse again. Psalm 91:1. It says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Did you see the condition? What do you have to do to abide under the shadow of the Almighty? You see, we look at the Almighty, how great God is Almighty. He can help me win the lottery. He can keep me out of an accident. I mean, I put this dashboard idol on my dash and I can drive like a maniac and I'm safe. No. But what does it say here? You want to abide under the shadow of the Almighty? There's a condition. You need to find a secret place. That's interesting. Sounds to me like it's like, well, little known. Not everybody knows about this place. It's kind of a secret place. What is this secret place? Notice, it's not the secret place of the most merciful, cherishable God. Charitable God. It's not the secret place of the most merciful, loving God. It's not the secret place of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's not the secret place of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's a secret place of the Most High.
Amen.
Amen. That's a whole different ball of wax. The Almighty and the Most High are two different attributes. They're both God's attributes, but they're different. God's Almighty. He can do it all. But He's the Most High.
Amen.
In other words, you answer to Him.
Yeah.
In the end, we will all answer to God. He's in control. He is the authority. He is the King, the Most High King. He's sovereign over all. Amen. Isn't that what Lucifer wanted? Didn't Lucifer say, I will be like the Most High? Lucifer was not content being in submission to the Most High. He wanted to be like the Most High. Sounds like mankind. Mankind does not want to submit to God. It's not in your nature. I know that because Debbie and I had 3 children and we have 14 grandchildren. It's not in a child's nature to submit to authority. There comes a day in every child's life where they think, you know what? I'm going to defy my parents. And maybe the age of 1, 2, 3, doesn't matter, 15. Sooner or later, they're going to try to defy you and say, I want to do it my way. That's just how mankind is, rebellious. And that would explain why horseshoes, rabbit's feet, lucky shirts, lucky numbers. Crucifixes, dashboard idols, horoscope are so popular. They don't tell you how to live. They don't tell you what to do. You can carry the rabbit's foot and do what you want. Put the icon on the dash and drive like you want. Live like you want. Drink what you want. Watch what you want. Just keep that scapular on yourself all your life and do what you want. And as long as you die with it, you'll go to heaven, they say. That's quite convenient. And that's why man doesn't really want to come to God quickly, because God's the Most High. What conclusions can we draw? That God is the Most High. We all agree He's the omnipotent God. I mean, we should agree with that. He's the omnipotent God. So there's nothing that's too hard for Him. That's the good part. But God is not your genie. Right? If God is your genie that just exists to fulfill your desires and your wish and your dreams and give you what you want when you want it, and woe be unto him if he disappoints you, because then you'll just quit going to church and quit reading your Bible and quit praying, and you'll just show God by just giving him a silent treatment. That is not what God is. That's not who God is. He's not your genie. Not your private genie. He is the Most High God. Amen. If you have time this week, just open your... I wouldn't say concordance, but nobody has concordances anymore. Open your Bible app on your phone and just search Most High as a phrase. It's in the Bible a few times, and it might give you some insight into what this means. He is the Most High God. Amen. There's nobody higher than Him. So, what conclusions can we draw? Open up Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. And we're going to read verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Don't deceive yourself. God doesn't think like you do. God is a lot wiser. You think you're smart. I think I'm smart sometimes. God is a whole lot wiser than any of us. He's wiser. He's wiser about everything. You name it. You need some wisdom about your family? Open your Bible. Ask God to show you in His Word. You need some wisdom about how to work and how to live and what to do and make decisions? Open your Bible. God is wiser than you can imagine. And believe it or not, the Bible has more information than only genealogies. Okay? I know some people think, well, if I open the Bible, it's going to be so-and-so begat so-and-so, and then thee and thou and thy and blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of wisdom in there. Just open it. Try the book of Proverbs, 1 chapter a day, and you'll find more wisdom than you'll ever get in school. He's wiser. He's wise about solving conflicts. Ask him. Look in the Bible. You'll find it. The next part of the verse says, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. His ways are more important than your ways. His will takes priority over your will. Isn't that the number one problem we have with God, is our will and His will? That's what Satan said. I think he said it like 5 times. I will do this, I will do that. I will be like the Most High. I will. I'm going to do what I want to do. No one can tell me what to do. Well, sooner or later you'll find out that God's way and God's will is more important than your will. It would behoove you to do it today and not at the throne. Amen. His ways are more important. His will takes priority. His will for your life, for your marriage, for this church. Every once in a while you might hear a complaint. Sometimes we might hear complaints like, how come your church does this? And how come your church doesn't do that? And you know what? I think that we can agree that this is not necessarily a seeker-sensitive or seeker-friendly church. I mean, we don't send out, what do you call them, questionnaires. What kind of church would you like? Would you like church start at 10 o'clock or at 12 o'clock? Would you like us to have a bowling alley in the basement? Would you like us to have, you know, prizes for those who bring the most visitors? And would you like us to not talk about sin and just talk about good things and talk about nice things and not talk about responsibility and service and devotion? No, that's not what we are. We don't do that. Why? Because God's will is more important than our will. Now, we're trying to help anybody who needs help, who wants God's wisdom and wants to know God's ways, but it's not about you or me. It's about God's will. And trust me, God's way is not only more important, His way is better.
Amen.
His way is better. How many of us can testify, yes, we have tried our way and it didn't work.
Amen.
We thought we knew the way to go, but it didn't work, and that's why we're here today. Some of you may be here today visiting. I don't know anybody here. You may be saying, I have tried the other stuff and I'm trying this. Great. Stick around. Listen, and you might find that God's Word has some real answers for you.
Amen.
God says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What seems right is not always right.
Amen.
What seems right on a Friday night, come Saturday morning, you probably say, no, that probably wasn't a very good idea. It felt right, it seemed right, it wasn't right. God's way is better. He says He gave His commandments for our good.
Amen.
God's view on morality is a whole lot better.
Amen.
The world is in a mess. Families are being destroyed. Marriages are falling apart because people don't think God's way is best. They think, no, this is the 21st century. We have better ideas about marriage and life and morality and family and everything else. No, God's way is really better. I mean, He's the Most High. Shouldn't He know? Didn't He create it all? Didn't He come up with all this? It wasn't an accident. It was no accident that God created Adam and then created Eve. He had a purpose. If He wanted it to be Adam and Steve, He would have done that, but He didn't do that. And He made marriage for a man and a woman. One man, one woman. God's way is simply better. It says here in verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. and my thoughts than your thoughts. So much higher, so much better, so much more important. Job chapter 9 tells us this. This is another conclusion we can draw from the fact that God is the Most High. Job 9, and we'll read verse 12. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? Have you ever tried to rebuke God for what he's doing? Hey, this is my life. What do you think you're doing to me? I can see it happening. I can say I probably haven't had any kind of serious affliction in my life to be tempted to say that. But I can see that happening. I can see you having your whole life planned. And then the day you retire, you find out you're dying of cancer. I can see that being a blow to you. I can see losing a parent being like, whoa, I'm just 10 years old and my mom died. That can be devastating. Or being a parent and losing a 10-year-old child. Also devastating. So yeah, I can understand how you might say, oh God, what are you doing to me? But the fact is, if he's the Most High, he does what he wants. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God does evil. I'm not saying that God plans evil. I'm not saying that God orchestrates evil. I mean, that's in itself is evil to say that, but we have to understand, we have to believe that obviously if he's the Most High, he allows things. For some reason, he lets certain things take place. He doesn't condone it all, but he allows it. And yet, who can say, what does it say? What doest thou? What right do we have to say, what are you doing? We might question, God, are you trying to teach me something? Are you trying to show me something? If so, make it clear. But not to the point of saying, how dare you? How dare you take my job? How dare you take my child? How dare you make me sick? How dare you take my dreams? If he's the Most High, hey, what are you going to do? Besides, rejecting God because something bad happens, or rejecting God because of all the suffering in the world, does not eliminate the suffering. You've gotten nowhere. You just eliminated the most logical solution. But you didn't eliminate the problem. It sounds so righteous. And oh, I don't believe in God because all there's problems in the world. Okay, so there's no God and no problems, right? No, there's still problems. Now what are you going to do? You don't have any solution now. The best you can do is say, well, it must be good. It must be part of the evolutionary process. So hey, enjoy your troubles because that's part of the process. No, it's not the process. It's actually just the curse because of man's sin and rebellion. What conclusions can we draw? And I'm almost done. He alone is worthy. You shouldn't be praying to a cross or an idol. You shouldn't be praising people. Isn't it funny how people gladly will worship a music icon, even like this, like, and sing along with him and just worship like crazy. And that's, he didn't tell you how to live. It's easy to worship that guy because he didn't tell you how to live. He just, as long as you're giving him money, he's happy. But he won't tell you how to spend your money, how to live your life. You just keep on worshiping him. But if you're going to worship God, he will tell you how you should live. He alone is worthy. It says in the Psalms, it says, thought I had it right, but I didn't. Bear with me. It says here, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Who do we worship? Only God, because he is the Most High. He alone is worthy. All things come from him. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar learned that one. You ever get a little bit proud of your accomplishments?
Amen.
I got a promotion today. Yeah. I knew I would. I'm amazing. I got a raise today. It's about time. All that hard work. I'm healthy. I eat right. Exercise right. I'm amazing. No, you're not. None of us are.
Amen.
Trust me. I don't exercise much at all. I don't eat right very well. But look at me. I'm amazing, right? No, it's just God's mercy on me. I can tell you. It's nothing of me. Everything we have comes from him.
Amen.
Nebuchadnezzar walked around saying, wow, look at this palace. Look at this empire I've built. I am amazing. And God says, oh yeah? Watch this. And next thing you know, he's roaming in the fields like an ox, eating grass like a cow.
Amen.
And then Nebuchadnezzar, this pagan king, says these words. Daniel 4:34 says this. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. He is the Most High. Everything you have comes from him.
Yes.
We should never forget that. And in the end, the Most High is the final authority and the judge of all the earth.
Amen.
If you get nothing else today, get this. You will stand before the Most High one day and you will have no excuse. It's just how it is. You don't have to like it, but it's true. You'll stand before him. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 says this. No, not verse 10, verse 15, I'm sorry. It says, verse 11, I'm sorry. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. Small and great. I don't care how big or small you are. Stand before God. Not before Allah. Not before St. Peter. Not before Grandma. Before God. The Most High. Who knows everything. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now here's the simple but terrible truth. Everything is being recorded. God knows it all. Maybe nobody else knows your secrets, but God knows it all. He's keeping track. And if you do not want to give account to God for all the things that you've done and thought and said and the things you should have done, you better get right with him now. Because in that day, it'll be too late to do something about it. It says here in verse 15, And whoso was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There'd be no chance that day for mercy. The chance for mercy is now. Now one more passage in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 5. It says this: "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." The Almighty God became flesh, dwelt among us, and shed his blood for our sins. Jesus Christ paid for your sins on the cross. And because of that, you can come to God today.
Amen.
While you're still alive, before you stand before him and say, "God, I need mercy. I need forgiveness. I need to be at peace with you." And the only way is Jesus Christ, because he died for you.
Amen.
And if you come to him, God says he'll save you today and forgive all your sins.
Amen.
Wash him away in his blood. Completely washed away. Otherwise, you'll face him and answer for them, and you'll have no argument.
Amen.
Nothing to give to God. Nothing to offer. Because only one way. There's only one way to get forgiveness, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the gospel. That's the gospel of the grace of God, that Jesus Christ died for you and for me. It offers us eternal life and forgiveness. He our passage says, Psalm 91, once again, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." If you find that secret place and bow your knees to God and ask him to save you, yeah, you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He'll be your God, your protector, your friend, your healer, your deliverer. Everything you need, you'll find in him. And even when things don't go well, you'll say, "It's okay, God. You're the Most High. Do as you please. I'm yours. And I'm going to be with you forever, so I can handle it. Just give me the grace each day, because you are the Most High."
Amen.
If you haven't believed the gospel yet, today is your day to call upon God and ask him to save you. And if you're saved today, don't forget, he's not just the Almighty. He's the Most High. He's the boss. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word.